chapter 2 at verse 40. I want to read this familiar passage of Scripture and then focus on one particular area. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 40. Amen. Alan and Buffy, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. God bless you. Would you read with me now this passage of Scripture? It'll be on the screen in a moment. Or if you have it in your Bible, you'd be able to follow Acts 2, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I want to share with you for a short while here today about vital signs. Vital signs. You may be seated. Now, those of you who have had medical training would understand the aspects of vital signs perhaps far more than those of us who have not had much beyond first aid or any of those kinds of fundamental training about vital signs. And it really can come down to the vital signs have to be there, or you're dead. Now, courtroom humor sometimes is rather unique, because you would expect somebody with a great deal of training to also have a great deal of common sense. Doesn't necessarily go together, as I'll share with you some actual court cases and questions and answers that were offered. The lawyer said, "Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed on dead people?" The doctor replied, "All my autopsies are performed on dead people." Another question, "How was your first marriage terminated?" The witness answered, "By death." The lawyer asked, "And by whose death was it terminated?" Okay, surely. All right. "Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse?" "No." "Did you check for blood pressure?" "No." "Did you check for breathing?" "No." "So then it is possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy?" "No." "How can you be so sure, doctor?" "Because his brain was in a jar on my desk." And the lawyer continued, "But could the patient have still been alive nevertheless?" The doctor answered, "It is possible that he could have been alive and practicing law somewhere." Oh, my. Now, those are real. Surely they'd have to be fictional, but no, those are real court cases and transcripts that have come from the question and answers there. Vital signs. Our first aid training, you try to remember all of the things that were involved there. I asked Mike and Megan. Mike's birthday was yesterday. This has really been a birthday time here. So Mike and Megan were down, and I was telling him about my message here that I was putting together, and what about vital signs? Now, I should have known better than to ask a couple of Army medics about vital signs, because they both started to rattle off a whole bunch of stuff that I was not able to keep up with. And I finally got one simple little thing that I was able to write down and include here. And the ABCs, maybe some of you have had the training with the ABCs, they said now it's actually H-ABC. And I guess from battlefield trauma, that's what they were trained with. The H is hemorrhage, obviously you've got to take care of that, otherwise the rest of the ABCs aren't going to matter anyway. And so hemorrhage is what they had to work with. In other words, stop the blood flow, if there is one. And then check the airway, then make sure they're breathing, and then check circulation. And that's the rest of the ABCs. And if they were here today, they'd be able to, again, to fill in way more than we'd be able to understand. But I want to apply this now to verse 42, that Peter is preaching, and with many other words did he testify and exhort. We know the words from verse 38 and verse 39 to be a wonderful promise, incredible opportunity for us to step in to a living church. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What an incredible promise that is given there. And then he goes on with many other words. And he establishes for us here in verse 42 what I believe to be vital signs for the church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Thank God for the vital signs that let us know the church is still alive and well. It's still powerful. It's still ongoing. There's still a work that is being done. Amen. There are some amazing things. As we had Brother and Sister Schwartz here on Thursday, and what a tremendous service in the presence of the Lord. And then we had opportunity to visit with them and home and so on about missionary events, the missionaries for 24 years, so they have a lot of experience, a lot of things that they could share. And my mind went back to different reports that I heard, Brother Eichert, of things that were going on in the Philippines in August 25th in 1974. There was a group of people that were worshiping. They were worshiping in a beautiful setting like we have here today. They were worshiping in a rice mill. They gathered and assembled there, and perhaps, I don't know if they were trying to be a little bit in secret, clandestinely worshiping and so on, but there they were. And the reason for perhaps their wanting to be a bit hidden away is because there were insurgents that were in the area, terrorists who were there. And as they worshiped, as they lifted up the name of the Lord, sure enough, the insurgents appeared and saw them in the rice mill and began to fire at them. Their automatic weapons were going off, and grenades were exploding. I mean, it was just a terrible assault. And it went on for an hour. However, the believers who were in that rice mill worshiped the Lord nonetheless. And in their worship, as they began to feel the presence and the power of the Lord, as they recognized the protection that God was bringing to them against the bullets, and very real bullets, very real explosions, and all of the things that were going on, they recognized how powerful God was, and they began to dance before the Lord in His presence. They began to talk in tongues and worship God and lift Him up. Well, all of this was going on. It's just incredible to think that that happened. And finally, a young girl in the spirit stood in the doorway and rebuked them in Jesus' name. They stopped firing their weapons. They came to the building. They demanded to be fed, and then they went on their way. I remember, Brother Eichert, seeing the shirt of that pastor and the bullet holes that were in it. But the church continued on. A small group in a rice mill, unharmed because of God and His power. Praise God. Amen. And it wasn't but a few years ago that we heard the story from Pastor Black in Memphis, Tennessee, as he ministered at one of our men's retreats here, about a saint in his church named Donna Johnson. Donna Johnson was returning home from church, and when she was robbed in her garage, a man jumped out of the bushes as she drove in, got out of her car, came in brandishing a gun, wanting her purse. And she wasn't resisting. She was just scared to death. And the robber reached over to grab hold of the strap on her purse, which got hung up on the doorknob. And he thought she was resisting when he was trying to get the purse out of the doorway. And he turned and shot her. 38 caliber pistol, point blank. The bullet went into her sweater and then made a 90 degree turn and went down and gouged a hole in the concrete of her garage. The robber went dashing out of there with the purse, and the ambulance came and took Donna Johnson to emergency, and you can imagine all of the trauma and concern and so on there. But there were just superficial wounds on her body, but the holes in her sweater. And Brother Black, I don't know if you were at that men's retreat or not, Brother Eichert. Some of you may have been there. But Brother Black held up Donna Johnson's sweater to show us the bullet holes that were in her sweater. Oh, I'm thankful that the church is alive. I'm thankful that the power of God is great. I'm thankful that the Lord is there to minister and provide for us. What a great thing that the Lord brought into existence. I'm not talking about the four walls or an edifice. I'm not talking about a denomination or an organization. I'm talking about a relationship that people can have with the Lord. Amen. That's what makes the church. That's what establishes the relationship that the Lord desires to have with people. A church that was born in Acts chapter 2. Jesus promised the Spirit. In his short 3.5 years of ministry, he made many references to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He said it would be wells of water springing up into everlasting life. He said there would be rivers of living water that would pour forth from you. He promised a comforter. He spoke of the Spirit of truth. And then the 40 days after his resurrection that he walked with his disciples, it was though that he concentrated his references and his promises about the Spirit. He said that they would have the Spirit come upon them, and he breathed on them for them to receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, "You shall be endued with power from on high. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you receive that." He said, "You were baptized by John, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence," in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. He went on in verse 8 and said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." So again and again, he made reference to it in a concentrated time so that they would not miss the promise. And then, thank God, the Spirit came just as he promised. In Acts chapter 2, you read about the story where they were all filled with the Spirit of God. They all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter began to say, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Thank God that this is that Jesus promised, that Jesus spoke of. Because the Spirit is a powerful resource. See, 1 John 4 and 4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's why we receive the Spirit. Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Praise God. Thank the Lord that there can be that indwelling presence of the Lord. Ephesians 5 and 18 admonishes us, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Amen. It's an intoxicating experience. It's a powerful move of God in your life. It's the blessing of the Lord that knows no equal. Thank God that we can have the blessing of the Spirit of God within us. And this experience fulfilled what Jesus referred to by being born again of the Spirit. Also being born of the water. "Be baptized, every one of you. Receive the Spirit." Thank God. And the remission of sins and the blessings of the Lord and all that would come. 3,000, the Bible says. 3,000 were added to the church at that time. It was an explosive situation. It was a powerful thing. And it's still happening. As always, I inquire of the missionaries, "Have you, when people receive the Holy Ghost and they begin to speak in a language that they don't know, have you heard anyone speak in English?" Brother and Sister Schwartz said, "Oh, yes, we've heard that." They're missionaries in Costa Rica for most of their time, and they had a group from California that were there helping them, and one of the group came to them and said, that girl over there is speaking English. Can she speak English? And, you know, as we're English speakers and we hear somebody speaking in English, we don't think too much of it. We just, you know, just acknowledge it. And then they realized as they looked over there, no, that girl can't speak English. So they quickly went over to listen to what she was saying. As she was just lost in the Lord and the Spirit of God filling her, and she was speaking in tongues in English. And she was saying, you are wonderful. You are holy. There is no one like you. Oh, thank God that God knows how to show his power in a great way, and the church is still alive and well today. Thank God for the power of the Lord. The vital signs of the church. They continued steadfastly. Notice that they didn't become born and then just blasé, whatever that is. They didn't just fit into a situation and a form and say, that's good enough. We don't need to be so fanatical. We don't need to get so excited. We don't need to just be on the fringe here. Let's just be quiet and sedate and sophisticated and suave. Well, I'd rather have the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Flashbulb Christians or fiery Christians? What do you think is the best? Amen. God help us to be on fire of the Spirit. Praise God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus said that there would be those who believe as the Scripture has said, and they will receive the Spirit. Thank God we can believe what the Bible says, and though the promises and the promise that Peter referred to in the book of Joel was 800 years old. We're almost 2,000 years removed from the promise that Peter made in Acts chapter 2, but it's still happening. God's still fulfilling his word. God's still bringing forth his promise, as the Scripture has said. And so Peter preached repentance. He preached baptism in the name of Jesus. He preached receiving the Spirit. The 11 other disciples were standing there with him. The apostles' doctrine was set, it was established, and it was followed. Praise God. And the same experience happened in Acts chapter 8, in chapter 9, in chapter 10, in chapter 19. Again and again and again, the vital signs of the church were being demonstrated as God showed his power in a wonderful way. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord for the fellowship of faith. The church started in one accord. In Acts 1 and 14, they were praying in one accord. In Acts 2 and 1, they were assembled in one accord. And thank God, in one place, they had the power of the Spirit of the Lord. In verse 46 of our text here in chapter 2, they were with one accord in the temple. Hallelujah. Thank God that the fellowship can be strong. Amen. Not singular, not cliquish, not based on income or education or any of those things. Thank God, everyone, a brother and a sister as we walk with the Lord and obey the Word of God, the fellowship. Amen. Peter and John were questioned about preaching Jesus and the resurrection. The lame man had been healed for 4 decades. Not quite as long as 5 decades, but for 4 decades, he had never walked. Never taken a step. Never stood on his feet. He begged. That's all he could do. That's all the income he could produce. Begging. Peter and John were walking by. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They grabbed a hold of his hands, and they began to lift him up. And immediately, the Bible says, his ankle bones received strength. And you couldn't keep that man still. You couldn't keep him quiet. You couldn't get him to settle down. You couldn't say, wait a minute now. We've got to be sophisticated. We've got to be suave. Oh, no. How would you react if you'd never taken a step in your life, but all of a sudden your ankle bones are strong. You're able to step forth. You're able to leap. You're able to walk before them, enjoying the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The authorities called Peter and John in and said, what's going on here? They couldn't say anything against the fact that the man who had been healed was standing right there with them. They all knew who he was. And the only thing they could say was, that's a notable miracle. Amen. And then Peter and John went to their own company, the Bible says. Thank God for fellowship. And they prayed in one accord, Acts 4 and 24. Thank God, that praying together. Breaking bread. I got to hurry. Breaking bread. That's what we're going to do after service. Amen. Our share groups are just awesome times to come together and share food and share fellowship and share faith and share the Word of God. It's tremendous. Keep going. It works. Keep going. Amen. Thank the Lord that we can be fed with food and with faith. But loving the Word, loving truth is so important. Hebrews 4 and 12, Brother Jordan, again, scriptures from Hebrews that make so much sense. Here's the amplified rendering of Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life or soul and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's why we've got to let the Word of God be a part of our lives all the time. Amen. Not just some verses we memorize in Sunday school, but something that we have alive and influencing and blessing us as we reach out to the Lord. Jesus said in John 6, 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There's no profit in it. The words or truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. The amplified rendering again. Oh, thank God for breaking bread. Amen. Not only the literal food and so on, but the spiritual food that we're able to receive. Amen. And prayer. Peter was in prison on death row. James had already been killed. And now Peter was about to be executed as well, but the church prayed. In Acts chapter 12, the church prayed, and an angel delivered him. I don't have time to go into the whole story. But when Peter was delivered and came out of the innermost prison, he knew where to go. He went to where the church was praying. Thank God for a praying church. Thank God for those who know how to get a hold of God. Amen. And the prayer can be short. It can be desperate. There's situations that, like Brother Schwartz mentioned, coming down the mountain and having to get around the two trucks that were in both lanes and so on, and not knowing what to do, what to say, and how to react, and all of a sudden being on the other side, and the trucks are behind him, and he's in front with a clear path. How amazing. No time for a long, drawn-out prayer. Amen. Brother Hernandez told us about a robbery attempt of a store in Miami. And the security camera caught what was going on. The man came in with a gun, shoved it in the face of the clerk behind the counter, and demanded that she open the cash register and give him all of the money. She became very scared and very flustered, and was fumbling with things, and the man became more insistent and loud and waving the gun around, and she began to pray. Oh, Jesus, please help me. Oh, Jesus, you got to help me. And she's trying to get the cash register open. The man's hollering and waving the gun. And she began speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave her utterance. She received the Holy Ghost right there in that drastic situation. The security camera is catching it all. The man is wondering what is going on. He finally just fled out of that store without any money, without anything. And the woman is just standing there talking in tongues as the Spirit of God filled her. Oh, thank God for powerful times of prayer when God can minister by His Spirit. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Amen. It avails much. Praise God. Thank the Lord we can be completely apostolic in power, in practice, in possibilities, in potential through prayer. Amen. Oh my, the vital signs of the church. It's the apostles' doctrine. They heard it directly from Jesus. They passed it on just like they were told. They didn't alter it. They didn't change it. There wasn't time to. You know how time can change things? Time can change history and so on, our perspectives. We weren't there 430 years ago as Brother Bartlett was teaching a tremendous lesson about the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt and so on. We weren't there. But thank God we can see what God has done. Time can change things, but thank the Lord. They didn't have time to change it. The Lord ascended up, and then the Spirit came down. And they preached exactly what Jesus told them to do. The apostles' doctrine. Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I got it from the Lord, he said, and I've given it to you. No changing, no altering. In fact, in Galatians 1 and 9, the message was reiterated by the apostle Paul. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Oh, a very strong stamp of approval upon the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship breaking and bread, share your time, share your truth. Praise God in prayer. Ask, petition, make supplication, stand in the gap, offer intercession. Thank the Lord that we can be a part of that. It is powerful. Would you stand with me now? The Spirit makes intercession for us. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Twice the Bible makes mention of that fact. The Spirit makes intercession for us. There are times, Brother Abbott, we don't even know what to pray. We're feeling the need to pray. We recognize that situation requires prayer. We don't know what to do. The Spirit begins to pray through us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord is able to minister in our needs, in our situations, in our predicaments, our troubles. He's there, alive, powerful, influential, and able to step in to do the work that is required. Hebrews 7 and 25 says, He ever liveth to make intercession. That doesn't mean that Jesus is on his knees right now before the throne, coming boldly, as Brother Jordan talked about. No, it means what he did while he was here on earth, what he accomplished when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished," is still intercessing for us. It's still effectual, it's still powerful, it's still working, and is able to change situations for us. Amen. Sometimes there are a lot of circumstances that need to change, and we pray for those things. We pray about that. But sometimes, rather than the circumstances changing, what needs to change is you. What needs to change is inside of you. And thank God, the Lord can make that change. Sometimes we can't make that change ourselves, no matter how many New Year's resolutions, no matter how many new leaves we turn over, no matter how good our intentions, sometimes we just can't do it. And thank God, we put our trust in Him, and He's able to make those changes. Small, incremental, unnoticed, insignificant to somebody else perhaps, but you know what the Lord has done. You know the changes that God has made. Thank you, Jesus. And the problems of the past are cut off through the forgiveness that he offers and the cleansing by his precious blood. In the spiritual sense, as we're baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank God for the vital signs of the church. Thank God that we can know it's alive and powerful. Amen. And I trust that you have a commitment to the principles of the Word of God, that you're going to do everything you can to keep those vital signs at work. Amen. Not stepping away from any one of them, not letting them slip by and go by the wayside in view of all of the different philosophies and ideas of the world today. No, those things change. We hear about the New Age and the New World and postmodernism and all of these different things, different titles, different names. It changes all the time. Different things are coming forth. You know what doesn't change? This word doesn't change. But it changes me. It changes you. It changes circumstances. It changes the predicaments and the problems that we find ourselves in. That's what I want to stay with. That's what I want to hold to. And I challenge you today to make that same commitment. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I want to invite you to a place of prayer here right now. If that's your intention and that's your goal and that's your desire, I want the vital signs of the church to be in my life, in my marriage, in my family. I want those vital signs. And I'm not going to let anything hold me up. I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm going to keep going. Please crowd in. Let people in behind you. Praise God. What a great group here today. What potential. What incredible potential that God sees in you. And how he can use you. And how he can change your circumstances. And how he can minister to your family. How he can raise up your children. Like Acts 2:39 says, the promise is to you and to your children. Oh, yes. Thank God. Thank God. Our twin sons were 37 yesterday. Thank God. They know the promise is real for them. And now they have children. Mike and Megan expecting their first. That baby is going to hear about the promise. It's not futility. It's not wishful thinking. It's not just a philosophy that is to be passed on. No, it's powerful. It's real. It's alive. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord again in prayer and in surrender. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.